We thank God today. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise God today. Hallelujah. For an opportunity to come in the presence of the Holy Ghost. For Lordship. God is greater than anything that we are faced with. He created everything that we are faced with. He created all the obstacles. He created everything. We are called soldiers. That's why we are called soldiers. Paul said, I fought a good fight. That's why we are called fighters. Because within this world, we are given weapons to fight. So there's nothing that takes us by surprise in this world. Hallelujah. We have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have entered into the family of Christ. And greater is he that is in you, Jesus said, than he that is in the world. So it is very important for us to understand the joining. We don't cry to God as though God doesn't know what we're going through. He is the one that placed the obstacles there. He is the one that orchestrated the whole monopoly. And he's given us power to be tested for heaven. And for the hearts that will not yield, that will not back down from the enemy, but will pursue with the great and mighty wind of the Holy Ghost, carried by the Lordship of the Holy Ghost that's in the church. Hallelujah. They shall overcome. We have been given the power to overcome. And God wants to see, and he will. Who will take up the courage? Joshua, I told you to be courageous. Joshua 1 and 9, 8 and 9. Be courageous. This joining calls for God in flesh. Flesh and blood cannot enter into this. So unless you are born again, not adopting a religion, a type of belief, a world system belief, but unless you are born again, hallelujah, you're not going to overcome. You can't enter and become converted as a little child. You cannot enter. So today we're talking about the rapture of the church. We are here to occupy. Occupy means temporary dwelling. We know within our minds the joining. We have been taught. We know the joining. When we were lost in sin and doing our own thing, we were lost. We were confused. We had no knowledge, didn't want any, didn't seek for any. Just wherever sin lead us, from sin, one sin to the next, just rolling around in sin and sinful thoughts, sinful decisions, sinful opinions, sinful counsel, sin against God. Didn't need no God, didn't come to God, didn't come near God, don't want to hear about it. I know my way, I have my way. All confusion, we are Lord, we are God. Sin. When we are born again, we come into the knowledge of God. As an inventor makes a product, and with it comes the instructions for the use of it. When we were born again, comes the Word of God to counsel us and tell us all about how we ought to be used and the end of our function. So we know from the beginning, that now we've been lost, but now we are found. Confused, but now we are sound. And we are instructed, we are taught to know that now you begin a pilgrimage journey. So in this world, all of your journey lived in your mind is the way you think. Your mind is where you live your life. Your thoughts is where you live your life. So according to what you think, that's why it's important to be a student, to take this life serious with the Bible. Cut off outside forces. Get a personal relationship with the scriptures. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. He will teach you. What he allows me to teach you, he will let you know by the scripture, if I fail to take you there, what's true and what's not. So our jobs, our families, everything is just temporary. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 7:29. We wear this world, or 27. We wear this world as a loose garment. Paul even instructed them that are married, live as though you have no wife. Live as though you have no husband. Don't put these things before God. Wear this world as a loose garment. Why? Because we are only occupying. Because there's an end in sight now. Many years ago, we wondered when. But now, we can see the sun setting over the horizon. So we were told that we are only here temporary. We are not to be seeking what they sought in Noah's days. We're going to go there. They continue to seek their happiness, their pleasures, houses, land, marriages, given in marriage, family, all sorts of worldly, earthly importance. But because we know these are just temporary things, we pay attention to them with temporary thoughts. Knowing that we are not married to these things, including family. We've been taught that we are travelers. So travelers doesn't take on any load. They carry what they own on their backs. It's a wonderful story about Nehemiah and the people. The same thing happened the night of the Exodus, where God told Israel to be fully dressed, fully clothed, for the quick exodus out of the temporary place called Egypt. Nehemiah, the same thing. They worked with their ammunition on them. We're going to have to do the same thing. We have too much of the world in our minds, too many things to do. It disturbs us that we have to do these things. School, work, make money, get money. All of these are a distraction. Because Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Is that Matthew 6:33 or? Anybody know? All these things should be added. In other words, you don't have to seek after them. It will be added. I am a living witness. I am a living witness. Jesus said, come unto me. Matthew 11:28. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's not for heavenly rest. That's for rest in this world. In other words, you don't have to work so hard. In other words, you don't have to seek after the world's riches. That's what they want you to do. You're in the world. You're not off the world. Seek the riches in heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven with your money. With your money, not on this earth. With your money, lay up treasures in heaven. Invested in the kingdom. What are you going to do with it? Then God said that he will add to you riches. Where you don't have to stress out for it. Where you can live in peace and be satisfied. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are taught that we are pilgrims. Pilgrim means we have a mind that we are not here to stay. Pilgrim means your mind is where you're going. So unless you lay your affection on where you're going, you're going to get caught up in this world, staying here in your mind. So take your mind, disconnect your mind of family, friends, job, school, careers, money, all of this dwelling here. And place your affection right now as I'm speaking aloud, the Holy Ghost, to do it. Place your mind in heaven. Hebrews chapter 11. It says that this is the forefathers. If they had thought of the land that they lived in, they would have had an opportunity to return to it in their minds. But they sought for a building, a house, not made with hands. In the 15th verse, Hebrews chapter 11. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, remember, you were called out of the dark world into his marvelous light. They might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. So it all depends on where your mind is. You will be ready when the bridegroom comes, when that shofar is blown, and you will not be like the foolish virgins who's just trying to put on the final touch. Because your mind, your affection, everything you do in life is towards the kingdom of God. Now, what have you done for the kingdom all week long? What have you done for the kingdom all month long? What you have done determined where you live. What you have done for the kingdom this week determines where your mind is. What's more important to you? If that doesn't change, brother, you're going to stay right here. Brothers and sisters, you will stay right here with that world. But your mind has to be caught up on that world to come, the heavenlies, in order for you to be snatched away and ready to go. Because Luke 21 and 34 said, be not overcharged with the fighting of this life, drunk the excessive thoughts and hang-ups of this life. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to do anything. Lord, what will thou have me to do? There's a time we live in right now where you should take every free minute to seek God and anchor yourself. The song said, in the bosom of Abraham. The bosom of Abraham is where the rich man saw Lazarus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and 24, throughout those verses, and to the young Jewish light, you will see Abraham and you will be thrust out. You'll see Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. They're living their life. You'll be thrust out. Hallelujah. Abraham is with the Lord. So let's talk about the rapture. So we are pilgrims and then the rapture. The rapture means taken away to our permanent dwelling place. The rapture will serve to take us away to a permanent dwelling place where we will spend everlasting life with Christ, our Lord, for all timeless eternity. We will spend all timeless eternity. All timeless eternity. Praise the Lord. So now let's talk about the rapture of the church. Any minute now, it's still. So it's an atmosphere where we can easily forget this event. Because as a thief, it will come upon us who are not aware. That's why you're here to be told and warned to keep your mind rapture ready. Because nothing extraordinary will happen before it. They said, if you really pay attention, you will see signs of a stroke. But they're so minor and so subtle that you won't even realize you're having a stroke. That's how the rapture is going to take place. Everything is so peaceful. The winter is behaving, functioning as ought. The forecasters see nothing. Like they saw nothing in Texas. Didn't see it coming. Like the coronavirus. Didn't see nothing. Like an earthquake. It wasn't on the scale. Nobody knew. But for those who have a relationship with the Bible, with the scripture, we know. We know, children. We know. We know. So, we have to pay attention. Right now. Right now. You've left your families. You came to church. You anticipate going back to your families. In the middle of the night, while we are here, while everybody went to do what they need to do, your mind must be caught up in Jesus Christ. Your mind must be caught up where nobody else's mind is. While you're working on your job, your mind must know that in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, hallelujah, while people's minds are on the machines and printing, hallelujah, glory to God, and cleaning and working and paychecks and weekend, what they're going to do, your mind must be, this might be it. Mind has to be different. Luke chapter 24, verse 12. This is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. He saw Jesus' clothing, but his body was not in those clothes. That's how the rapture is going to take place. You'll find clothing of people everywhere, but their bodies would be gone. If you're the one find it, you're in trouble. Now, if they find yours, then you're gone up in the rapture. You wouldn't want to be around to say, I see this person closing. This person is gone. It's not coming back around for you. Hallelujah. Serious time, people. That's a qualification to go into rapture. Everybody wants Jesus coming, talking about the rapture. But the rapture is going to take place for holy people. A people that is delivered from sin. A people that is surrendered and disciplined and surrender their soul, their lives, their aspiration, everything to God. A people that is denied self and are born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Sins have been taken away. And who is, according to Titus chapter 2, living holy, sanctified, and godly. For the grace of God, 11th verse, apparent to all men, teaching us that we might live godly and sanctified in the same old present world with no worldly lust and worldly flesh. Read it and check it out for yourself. The rapture of the church. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 36. The rapture's coming down in verses 40 and 41. We start at verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, this is Jesus, our Christ, talking. Isaiah said, Isaiah 6 and 1, in the day Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What a sight to behold. We are getting ready to see a sight that will make us look stupid. Like, how can I have fought against this image all this time and not be killed? Like, how stupid was I to fight against God, telling God what I think, telling God what I feel? And this huge God put up with me. How merciful he is. No man. Jesus said, no man know when these things are going to happen. God has already ordained and prepared it. For those of you that have escaped the pollution of the world, remain, embrace it, be free. Don't entangle yourself again in the yokes of bondage. Galatians 5 and 1, stand fast, stand firm, therefore, brethren. Be not entangled again in the yokes of bondage. Don't go back looking for those bondages. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Here's the prediction. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, same thing. Mind is not on the rapture. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Even the sight of that great ship that nobody has ever built and that was the first design of any boat, specifying, signifying water is about to come, that should have been a frightening scene for to pique their curiosity. But they were eating, drinking, partying, going out to the restaurant, going out, serving one another, party at this house, party at the next house, feasting. Not necessarily as bad as we have it today, the world. But nevertheless, their minds were not on what God was saying through the preacher. Family came first. This is what we do. I have to have a baby shower. That's what the world told me. I have to have a feast. I have to do it like this. I have to have a baptism feast. I have to have family reunion. I have to go to my children's wedding. I'm the parent. That's what we do. I have to go to my parents. That's what we do. Marianne? Yeah, I'll get married. My wife, my husband. Giving in marriage, being engaged. Topple all of that is divorce. Divorce, which is the face of unforgiveness. If you never saw unforgiveness, the spirit of unforgiveness before, it's divorce. Divorce, tell God, I will not forgive that person that I made a vow with. If God forgive you for all the sins you have done, how is it that you cannot forgive your husband for violating your marriage through extramarital affair? Or your wife for violating marriage for extramarital affair? How is it that you can't wait until a time has ceased for forgiveness to come into play? Forgiveness is what God says, unless you forgive, I will not forgive you. You think God is joking with that? We act like we are forgiven. And we believe that lie. But if you haven't forgiven, you're not forgiven. That's the same God who said, I will come in and sup with you. You believe that? Then believe this. Divorce, tell God, I'm not. 2-3 times. I will not forgive that person. That's the face of unforgiveness. And Jesus said he will not forgive you. Not until Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came, till it started raining. And took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, just like that. Where are you going to be? Are you going to be anchored, taking advantage of all of these opportunities and anchor yourself in the relationship of God? Or are you seeking to be untangled from God? You're seeking to go back to the beggarly things that will take you to hell. Where are you in your mind? You're seeking to sneak back. You wouldn't let this world go. But there is coming the rapture. In the 40th verse of Matthew 24, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. One of the writers said two men will be in the bed. Roommates, of course. Brothers, of course. One shall be taken and the other left. Why is one going to be taken and the other left? Because one will be a member of the five foolish virgins, have no Holy Ghost, slumbering and didn't seek no holiness. They didn't seek to know what qualifies them to be taken. Just took their false beliefs, false faith, false grace to tell them they don't need to do anything but be born. Jesus Christ did all for them. Wouldn't seek the scripture where Jesus said, take up your own cross, deny yourself and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Two women shall be in the field. Two shall be in the field, one taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. The other left. The one taken is the five wise virgins. Matthew chapter 25. They made sure that they had what qualified them for heaven. Enough oil. They saw it. They made sure they have enough oil. Jesus said, keep your lamps burning. Keep your lamps burning. Believe that sound. Luke 12 and 35. Anyway, keep your lamps burning. Not sure about that. I think I got that wrong. But Jesus said, keep your lamps burning. You need oil. You need the Holy Ghost. Is it right? Yeah, it's Luke 12 and 35. Keep your lamps burning. You need oil. Do you have the Holy Ghost? You need the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? Well, Ephesians. Acts 19. Paul met the John the Baptist disciples, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? There is a Holy Ghost after you believe. Do you know that? Do you know the scripture? You're just going by the confusion with every preacher that you listen to say. What about that Bible? Are you a student of the Bible with the Holy Ghost? He is the teacher. He is the real teacher of the church. Man can deceive you, but the Holy Ghost will not. He's the teacher of the church. The rapture is about to take place, people. Where is your mind? Are you firmly separated from the flesh, from the lukewarmness of Christianity, from the worldly church? Or do you still want to be pampered and do not want to hear about your sins? You do not want to be insulted by what is wrong with your false confession. You do not want to be insulted with what is wrong with your decision concerning Christ. You don't want to be insulted by the Word of God, by the Scriptures. Someone told you you're okay, and that's all you want to know. But will that serve you? Will that serve you justice in the end when you stand before the throne of God? Will you hear, well done, welcome, or will you hear, depart from me? Isn't that more important to you, the end result of your faith? That your faith is structured by the scriptures, by the word of Jesus Christ, and you know for sure you will hear, welcome, because you have put off the old man. You have put off the flesh. You have put off the carnal thoughts. You have lived your life in purity of the holiness of God, obeying the scriptures. No matter how hard the scripture asks you to put away the hatred, that bitterness, the iniquity of the heart, put it away. You have done the hard thing. You have put away the things that your flesh loved. You have put away worldly pleasures. You've traded all. To suffer, to be persecuted. But in the end, everlasting life. Welcome to everlasting life. The rapture will take place. God showed me that there will be a revival, but it won't be a revival like people are thinking. All these gatherings are not revival. We call them revival and go through the motion of effort, human effort, exerting all that energy. But there will be a prodigal son revival where everybody come to themselves and say, let me go back to my father. Let me go back to my father. Realize that they're backslidden. They're far away from God. Let me go back to my father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There coming a time, any minute now, when they're going to find people clothing. They will find people clothing. That the person was wearing the clothes, where is he? That person was wearing those clothes, where is she? The plane, they will find the plane just fell out of the sky. Well, what happened? The pilot can't charge the pilot. The pilot died. But he was caught up. Cars, accidents. Where's the driver? Well, where did the driver run to? There's a warrant out for his arrest. Mysterious things are going to happen. If you're around to hear about it, you're lost. The news, millions are missing, unexplained. But these all profess to be Christ followers. There will be no surprise. When Jesus said the prostitute and the drunkards and the murderers will get in the kingdom of heaven before you, He wasn't talking about heaven. He was talking about into salvation, because when they hear the gospel preached, they will repent of their sins. But high, intelligent, worldly wisdom, men of worldly wisdom, are too proud to bend to that lowly manger king. But the rapture, millions are missing. Today, it can happen. Are you saved? Today, are you surely anchored? Today, it can happen. Are you in right standing with God, with the scripture? Are you holy? Or you are a part of the apostate church, doing things for God that God has not given you any authority to do, that you are not even washed and cleansed, and just talking what you don't know of. You might be a pastor. Is God pleased with you? Have you gone through the process of the fire? Do you have an altar of fire in your heart? Have you gone through the fiery furnace? Have you been purified and made like pure gold? The rapture will take place while one is asleep. When you go to bed, watching television, the news, movies, watching all sorts of things on YouTube and social media, it's the last conversation. You have to discipline yourself, put these things away. Become rapture ready, saints. Are you sound in the mind, sound in faith? Where's your house built? Matthew 7:24. On the rock or sand? False belief, false faith? What men say? Or the rock, the word of God? The rapture of the church will take place. For unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. No flesh will be saved. Therefore, for the elect's sake, verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Matthew 24, verse 22. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. For our sake, don't you feel it? Don't you see it? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Wow, all this false doctrine and false preaching and all of these persecutions coming up against us. We won't make it. But God already knew that and established that. So let's be ready. 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. So in the process of the tribulation, we are going to have the rapture of the church. And then immediately after that, the second coming will take place. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Get rid of your false church. Get rid of your false faith. Get rid of your false preacher. Get into the word of God. Let the true preachers tell you the truth. Even though it hurts you. Even though it disappoints you. Get disappointed now and get right with God and stop going all the way to the end of the journey believing that lie that the false prophets are telling you or you want to believe. And then in hell, you lift up your eyes being in torment. Death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. Smooth doctrine is not going to get you there. Everything is written into the Bible. Stop ignoring the Bible. Stop ignoring the truth, what's in the Bible. Those of you that accept the truth, do it. Embrace it. Deny yourself. Don't go back. It's dangerous times. Don't go back. The rapture will take place. They found Jesus' linen. His body was not there. And prayerfully, they will all find yours. But those that die in the Lord before all of this, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those which remain and alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.